नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् 5th canto chapter 2 entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidhra, text 4, very difficult to pronounce. This is one section of Bhagavatam where it's just prose, and Sanskrit is such a language, one word through sandhis can run for one page. So I won't trouble you, but it is still purifying. But I'll read the translation and the purport. Translation to text 4 reads, the Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park near the place where the king was meditating and worshipping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and golden creepers. There were pairs of varied birds such as peacocks, and in a lake there were ducks and swans, all vibrating very sweet sounds. Thus the park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, the clear water, the lotus flowers, and the sweet singing of various kinds of birds. No purport. Text 5. As Purvachiti passed by on the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments on her ankles tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnidhra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes. And when he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that yogis always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogina. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always observed by yogis who practice controlling the venomous senses. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, yogis should practice sampreksha nasikagram, keeping their eyes half open. If the eyes are closed completely, there will be a tendency to sleep. So-called yogis sometimes practice a fashionable form of yoga by closing their eyes and meditating. But we have actually seen such so-called yogis sleeping and snoring while meditating. Actually we had, sometimes we see some rolls down and hits the head on the ground, then only wake up. This is not the practice of yoga. To actually practice yoga, one should keep his eyes half open and gaze at the tip of his nose. Although Agnidhra, the son of Priyavrat, was practicing mystic yoga and trying to control his senses, the tinkling sound of Purvachiti's ankle bells disturbed his practice. Yogendriya samyamah. Yoga indriya samyamah. Actual yoga practice means controlling the senses. One must practice mystic yoga to control the senses. But the sense control of a devotee who fully engages in the service of the Lord with his purified senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, can never be disturbed. Srila Prabhupadananda Saraswati therefore stated, Durdantendriya Kala Sarva Patali Prodkhata Damshrayate. The practice of yoga is undoubtedly good because it controls the senses, which are like venomous serpents. When one engages in devotional service, however, completely employing all the activities of the senses in the service of the Lord, the venomous quality of the senses is completely nullified. It is explained that a serpent is to be feared because of its poison fangs. But if the fangs are broken, the serpent, although it seems fearsome, is not at all dangerous. Devotees therefore may see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women with fascinating bodily movements and gestures, but be not allured. Whereas such women would make ordinary yogis fall. Even the advanced yogi Vishwamitra broke his mystic practice to unite with Menaka and beget a child known as Shakuntala. The practice of mystic yoga, therefore, is not sufficiently strong to control the senses. Another example is Prince Agnidra, whose attention was drawn to the movement of Purvachitti, the same way that Vishwamitra Muni was attracted by the tinkling bangles of Menaka. Prince Agnidra, upon hearing the tinkling bangles of Purvachitti, immediately opened his eyes to see her beautiful movements as she walked. The prince was also very handsome. As described herein, his eyes were just like buds of lotus flowers. As he opened his lotus-like eyes, he could immediately see that the Apsara was present by his side. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Nandavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park near the place where the king was meditating and worshipping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and golden creepers. There were pairs of varied birds such as peacocks, and in a lake there were ducks and swans, all vibrating very sweet sounds. Thus the park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, the clear water, the lotus flowers, and the sweet singing of various kinds of birds. as Purvachiti passed on by the road in a very beautiful style, in the mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments on her ankles tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnidra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes. And when he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see she was just nearby. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions about the Lord and His devotees. And the Bhagavatam also mentions about what is favorable to achieve the perfection of life, pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. And it also quotes incidences from the lives of those souls who, because of the impediments which is inherent as long as a soul is conditioned, fell away from the path or got digressed or deviated, and many of them ultimately came back, but they took a big detour. It took a long time. And therefore, the whole purpose is ultimately to surrender, is described anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. One should thoroughly understand philosophically whatever is favorable and adopt it in one's life, and whatever is unfavorable, one should systematically varjanam, one should give up. In fact, very soon we are going to celebrate New Year. And every New Year, people take a resolution. I shall do this, 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 this. But before taking a resolution, the goal should be clear. Because what will you resolve to do or not to do if the goal is not clear? So the first thing is to get the goal very clear. And after getting the goal clear, you have to take a stock of where you are right now. And then, how much time you have at hand to actually achieve that goal. Because accordingly you have to plan. You can't plan for a million years program when you are living only for 5 more years. And then, whatever is favorable, one must be understood. What are the typical impediments that may come or that is there already, must be written down. And then one should take a vow to actually adopt whatever is favorable, irrespective of how difficult it is to our mind and senses and the ego, and vow to actually reject those things which are unfavorable, however pleasing to our mind, senses and ego. So Bhagavatam helps us to realize one of the most difficult impediments to overcome in the path of perfection of life is the conditioned mind and senses. In fact, the reason why we have come into this material world is because we had the whole, we say conditioning. We were conditioned to something what we are not supposed to. That means to enjoy separately from the Lord. Independently trying to be the controller, proprietor, enjoyer. Rather than being a cooperating subordinate. So therefore that is the root cause we have come here. And as a result, we have got the mind and senses to actually lord it over separately. So the whole purpose is to decondition ourselves from the mind and the senses. But instead of that, if we pamper the mind and senses and allow it to actually influence us, then the more conditioning increases. And then we are defeating our own purpose of, especially if we are a transcendentalist wanting to transcend this material world. So therefore, the first thing that must be understood, Prabhupada mentions one place, yoga means to control the mind and senses, that's all. To control the mind and senses is yoga. Yoga means to yuj, that means to reunite with our original source. And the difficulty on this path is the mind and the senses. And especially the mind, more than the senses, mind is, senses is more gross. Gross things can be caught hold of, twisted, turned, closed, opened. Whereas mind is so subtle, you can't catch it. At least, you know, like Gandhi said, he had three monkeys on his table, altar of his table. One closing his eyes, one closing his mouth, one closing his... These you can close. Can you close the eyes and the ears and the mouth of your mind? It's very subtle. That's why Arjun says, Chanchalam hi mana krishna paramathi balava dridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva sudashkaram. It is chanchala, it's so flickering. Pramathi, it's so agitating. Matha, mathan means churning. One little insignificant vent that is given through one of these windows. Something else. It's just like the heart is like a petrol tank. And one of these windows are open and one little lighted match, throw it inside and so there are five windows. And sometimes one lighted matchstick goes inside in the form of one agitating stimulus and the whole tanker bursts. Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyanam Iha Vairinam. Mahashana, it's like a all-devouring, sinful enemy of the conditioned soul. So, more than the senses, the mind is the real enemy. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. Bandhaya vishaya sango mukte nirvishayam mana. It was just manayeva. Just like Krishna says, mameva saranam braja. Mamekam. Mameva ye prapadyanti. Nobody else. Similarly, he says, manayeva manushyanam. Mind is the only enemy. Nothing else. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, describes what is the real impediment of a devotee on the path of transcendence and how gradually he absolutely falls down to the material pool. There is a gradual way of elevation. Adav Shraddha, Adada Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nirti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Bhava, Prema. Similarly, there is a systematic step-by-step fall down. That is described. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangaste shupajayate sangha sanjayate kama kama kroho vijayate krodha bhavati sammo sammo smriti vibrama smriti vibramshat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat nashyati. One time one devotee slipped, he was carrying Mahaprasad, slipped from the top staircase and step by step he was falling down like this with his four cans. I actually saw him. He was literally, you know, bumping on each step like this, and ultimately came down. Somehow he didn't leave Mahaprasad. So, step by step, Krishna is describing how a devotee, not physically, but spiritually falls down. Dhyayato vishayan. The whole thing begins with dhyana. You start meditating. Dhyayato, on what? Vishayan. On objects of the senses. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu upajayate. Then one develops sangha, association. Association or attachment. Sangha can mean two things. Sangha also means association, sangha also means attachment. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Then, by constantly meditating, he develops an attachment. He wants to associate with that. By constantly associating, he develops a strong desire to enjoy it for one's pleasure. Kamat krodho vijayate. But unfortunately, the nature of lust is that it never satisfies. Never satisfies. The more you have, the more you want. Lust personified was Ravana. He had the best of Devakanyas, the best of Rajakanyas, the best of Rishikanyas from all over the world, from all the three planetary systems. Still he was not satisfied when he came to know that somebody else had one wife who was more beautiful than anyone I have. Everything he had, but still, that's the nature of the lust. It's all devouring sinful enemy. So invariably, if we have lust, we have to get frustrated. We have to. Because nothing, all the sense gratification in the three worlds cannot satisfy lust. It is always burning. Like a blazing fire, which can, any amount of fuel you put, it finishes off and wants more. So invariably, lust has to lead to kamat krodho hi jayate. And when you cannot, or any object that comes in between you and that object of enjoyment becomes the focus of your anger. Kamat krodho bhi jayate. And krodha, first of all, kama esha krodhesha rajoguna samadbhava. So kama, invariably, that's why it's called, krodha is called kamanuja. Just like Lakshman is called Ramanuja. Younger brother, where the elder brother goes, wherever Ram went, Lakshman would follow. Wherever there is calm, invariably it has to be followed by krodha. And krodhat bhavati sammoha. And when a man becomes angry, then he becomes bewildered. It said, anger is momentary madness. But if you are constantly lusty, you will be constantly angry. And constantly angry means constant madness. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Sammoha. Moha means bewilderment, illusion. And sammoha, smriti vibhrama. The person is bewildered. All his good instructions that he may have received, all his practices, all his wishes, good wishes that he may have received, everything is forgotten for that moment. Sammoha, smriti vibhrama. All learned things, what he has thoroughly practiced and heard, everything is forgotten. Just like Ajamil, he knew everything. He was practicing, he had heard, constantly meditating, and then, you know, systematically fell down. So, smriti vibhram, smriti bhramshat buddhi nasho. And if you forget that, all that, then your intelligence is bewildered, lost. And buddhi nasha, your intelligence is lost, then you become an animal. That means you fell down into the material pool. That's what discriminates a human being from animal. Buddhi nasha, pramashya. So it all began with dhyayataha, vishayan, and sangha, sangha, that association. Therefore, it is said, the association is so important. What kind of association we keep and what kind of attachments we develop consequently. In fact, in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami mentions six items favorable for devotional service, six items not favorable for devotional service. But one thing that is both common in both is Sangha. Specifically, he mentions the negative part of Sangha in both. Utsah, Nishya, Dharya, Tattat, Karma, Pravartanat, Sangha Tyagat. You have to give up the association of unwanted things if you really want to advance. And later he says, Janasangasya Laulyam cha, Shadvir Bhakti, Vishnirashati. Janasangasya, association with those very materialistic kind of people. So therefore we find one thing that is common in both, if something is being stressed in a very, very, just like in a telegram, lightning telegram. You know, every word costs, so you have to be very, very brief and very, very to the point. No redundant message. But in such a book also, if twice it is mentioned, it shows it's how important it is. So Sangha Tyaga, one should very carefully give up the wrong kind of association. It is mentioned that Sangha can mean two things, as already discussed. Sangha means association, and Sangha also means attachment. Let's take the first one. Of course, the kind of association determines what kind of attachment you will develop. Sadam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarana rasa. If you are associating, adav shraddha tada sadhu sangha. If you have faith in the right things, sat sangha. If you have faith in the truth, anything that is real, then asatoma sadgamaya. Then adav shraddha tada sadhu sangha. Then you associate with devotees. Then bhajana kriya. Then you take up the process. You hear, and whatever they are attached to, you also become attached. You practice what they are practicing. Anartha nivritti, then all the anarthas will go away. Prema will develop. Similarly, the association of the wrong kind leads to the wrong thing. So, it is described that association is basically of two types. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, and he said that Stri Sangi Eka Asadhu Krishna Abhakta Aap. For a Vaishnav, if he really want to, in this very lifetime, go back home, back to Godhead, because we don't know what awaits in our next life. There is no guarantee. Therefore, anyone who is serious, if at all we are serious about advancing in self-realization, then we should be very, very careful about what kind of association we keep. So there are two kinds of association. Stri Sangi Eka Sadhu. In fact, a Vaishnava is recognized by this. So, Stri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta. One is Stri Sangi. Stri Sangi means one who associates with the opposite sex, or who associates with those Yoshita Sangi Sangasya, or those who are attached to the association of the opposite sex. That means, because especially the association of opposite sex is considered very, very powerful attachment, because the opposite sex can give you the feeling of being the controller, enjoyer to the ultimate degree. And therefore, a person who is attached to that, very, very difficult for such a person to come out. And if he associate directly or with the people who are addicted to that kind of association, then it will just cannot but influence our heart. Of course, what does association really mean? That means, you know, you have to just close your doors and windows and just sit at home. Association actually means associating Priti Purvakam. If you are relishing that association, if you are looking forward to that association eagerly, that means that is dangerous. If it's an austerity for you, just do the things done. That's why Krishna says, Rupa Goswami says, what are the six kind of loving exchanges? Dadati, giving some gifts, accepting some gifts, revealing one's mind confidentially, hearing in confidence from them, and inviting them home for lunch, and you also go to their home for lunch. This is a loving exchange where heart to heart, it's a heart. When you give someone a gift, actually you have a place for him in your heart, therefore you are giving that gift. That gift is actually surcharged with his consciousness. So therefore it will influence. Therefore this kind of association is what is to be given up. with non-favorable things or items or people. So that is the real association. Stri Sangi and Krishna Abhakta. Krishna Abhakta means those who are non-devotees. Non-devotees, generally we feel that only, you know, very gross materialistic people are non-devotees. No. They could even be transcendentalists. They could even be yogis who deep in their heart are convinced that jnana is the path of perfection. Bhakti is simply sentimentality. They may quote shlokas, they may give big, big talks. They may speak even on Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada, you know, Sanatana Goswami says, milk that is touched by the lips of a serpent is more dangerous. Because you think it is milk and it's nourishing, it goes inside and the poison acts. So sometimes people think, yeah, you're also saying same thing, they're also saying the same thing, let's go. And hear from everywhere, you should take good things from everywhere, you know. Should not become very like a horse. Don't be fanatic. Be broad-minded. Typical Hindu stuff. Be broad-minded. Take good wherever it is available. But Chanakya Pandit said that even if in a big dustbin, corporation dustbin, if there is a small little gold, collect it. But we don't realize to collect that gold, we dive inside. 1 milligram of gold you may get, but 1 kilo of filth you have influenced by. So therefore, subtly it comes. Or those who are very, very karmakandi type, attached to rituals. Rituals for material benefit. Now we also perform karma. Our karma, whatever activities we perform, regulated duties, we do it only for one purpose, to attract the mercy of the Lord. That becomes bhakti. Karma to attract the mercy of the Lord becomes bhakti. Whereas that karma, which is simply to get some better facilities in life, is karma gandhi, or following scriptures just for that sake. So those kind of people, and these are very subtle. If you are not very strong, if you are not very discriminatory, then we may think that, yeah, it's all same. And subtly, before you long, because of that kind of association, your desire to lord it over material nature increases, and your desire to surrender to the Lord gradually decreases. And before long, you have gone so away, it's very difficult to come back. Therefore, all these scriptures are given so that we develop fine discrimination. So, the jnanis, the karmis, even the ashtanga yogis who want to get some better controlling facility. So all these, there is a subtle kind of, and dry logicians who simply want to argue, grossly materialistic people, all these kind of people, we may in the world have to, you know, just do the needful to just survive. But one should not priti purvakam with relish, or we should not be eager associate with relish or eagerly look forward to that kind of association. If we are, that means we are in a very diseased condition of life. So that is Krishna Abhakta. So this is one kind of sangha, that is association. The second kind of association, or second meaning of sangha, is attachment. Now, attachment is also of two types, as explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, attachment to assets of this world and attachment to prejudices. Prejudices means a particular way of thinking. Deep-rooted kind of prejudices that we may have developed. So let's take the first one. Attachment to the assets. Assets means we become attached to certain kind of things. Sometimes attachment to things of this world, a house, household paraphernalia, a wife or children, things like that. There is a tendency to become attached because there we can lord it over, it is there for our enjoyment. Naturally, even a beggar can become attached to his penny or that little place that he has. He's in the middle of the street, but still they become attached. But sitting in that place only. I've seen once in Dadar, I was going, one beggar came and another beggar was actually only with one leg. He beat him up so hard because he was sitting in his place. It is nobody's place, it's in the middle of the platform. But because he's been sitting for a week or so, he feels it is mine now. And the other fellow came and beat him up so hard. No mercy. So, there is a tendency, natural tendency, to become attached. And then, or attachment also to certain kind of habits. I can't do without this, you know. If this is not there, early morning, if I don't get this, I can't, you know, my mind is disturbed. I have to have a little coffee. I have to have a particular kind of brand of whatever, some food stuff. Without that, you know, my whole day is disturbed. So attachment to certain kind of foodstuffs, attachment to certain paraphernalia. This is one kind of sangha. Now how to give up that? How to give up attachment to assets? Attachment to assets is given up by, of course, there are two kinds of devotees, householders and renunciates. Especially for the householders, this tendency can be more. Of course, you can be attached to anything in this world. It's amazing what people can be attached to. So, still, when we practice, the whole household is practicing simply for the sake of jiva satatva jigyasa anartho yascheha karma bhihi. Generally, artha, dharma, we perform activities in household for artha, for some material benefit. And artha is for kama, to satisfy our sense, satisfy our desires. So, dharma, artha, kama, this must be performed, trivarga. But those who are devotees of the Lord, they follow dharma for a different purpose. Dharmasya hi apavargasya na arthorthayo kalpate na arthasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. So, dharmasya hi apavargasya. Dharma should be practiced for apavarga. Apavarga means liberation, and the ultimate liberation is to serve Lord. Mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. To be situated in our constitutional position is the eternal ultimate liberation. So dharma, we are practicing dharma for apavarga. That means anything that helps us to go to our constitutional position, that is real dharma, that must be followed. Na arthaha arthaya upakalpate. The purpose of following dharma is not to get some material benefits. But if you perform some dharma and your occupational duty, you will invariably get some artha. You will get your salary, you will get money, you will get some facility. Then, na arthasya dharma ekantasya. Ekanta means one who is fixed in achieving the ultimate perfection of life and performing dharma. Na arthasya, when he gets some artha, na arthasya dharma ekantasya kamo labhaya hismrutaha. That should not be used for unnecessary sense gratification. Then what should it be used for? Kamasya na indriya preeti jivo labho jiveta yavata jiva satatva jigyasa nartho yascheha karma bhi. Very beautifully Bhagavat explains that kamasya na indriya preeti, the desires or whatever we get should not be used for unnecessary sense gratification. Labho jive dayavata, just what is necessary to make the two ends meet, for to keep the body and soul together, to keep us fit just enough so that we can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. For that, whatever is required for the body, whatever is required for the family, whatever is required for the occupation, perfectly all right. Na artha yasche iha karmi bhi. No other activity, then it is prayas, unnecessary prayas, karma prayas, jnana prayas. So that prayas, endeavor should be just whatever is necessary. So that kind of maintenance is there, then we are protected. And as regards attachment to certain habits of certain kind of foodstuffs, which gives you some kind of pleasure, how to overcome that? That is overcome by practicing vows, like Ekadashi. When we practice vows, at least on that particular day, I will not eat any kind of foodstuffs, ideally. Then you realize actually what the body can do without. Surprising. So, we have to follow that vow. Now, even in Ekadashi, there are two kinds of foodstuffs. Foodstuffs that are life-sustaining and foodstuffs that are sense-gratifying. So, on that day, at least on the days of our vow, if you are not able to keep a nirjal fast for whatever reason, even if you are eating, we should eat only life-sustaining food. Because human mind is such, and even within that, whatever framework of sense gratification is allowed, even that we want to include something. It's amazing, you know, if you travel by local train, that local train itself is miserable. But even there, people want to find some corner near the window so that they can enjoy even within that some better thing. Or some particular place which is slightly better than the rest. So, within that whatever restriction, even that we want to find some, you know, sense gratification, little. But that's always there. So, even that must be reduced. That life-sustaining foodstuffs, okay. But even that, you know, just to, that kind of little addition of this or just to make the term. So, by following those kind of vows, at least for one day, at least for one day. Then slowly what happens? Then we follow, you know, one particular month. Kartik Mas, we will try to do something. Then it comes Chatur Mas. At least for 4 months I will try to give up. And ultimately, finally, for all time, permanently you give up. Those kind of food stuff which is unnecessary. So this is a very systematic way of slowly giving up those kind of things which are unnecessary but we are addicted to. Subtle kind of attachments through in the form of habits. That is why we say on particular months, give up those things which are very, very, you know, we are addicted to. Then, attachment to prejudices. Na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabho subhavastu pravartate. Na karma phala sanyogam subhavastu pravartate. Sometimes deep-rooted prejudices are there right from the beginning, even before our birth, or we come with the load of prejudices. We find in the lives of great souls like Haridas Thakur, these so-called Brahmanas who are karmakandis, hated Vaishnavas right from the beginning, or so-called Jnanis, hated the path of bhakti right from the beginning, for no reason. So, prejudices are also of two kinds, ancient and current. Ancient means what you come with previous lifetime. Since time immemorial, we are attached to these kind of jnana or karma. Just like tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukhasangena badhnati jnana sangena chanaga. People who are born in the mode of goodness naturally get attached to sukhasangena, jnana sangena, becoming very, you know, knowledgeable, becoming very happy, they are satisfied like that. Naturally, that means this is a software they have brought from the previous life. So the conditioning is there, prejudices. And they have deep-rooted fixed ideas, which doesn't go. Very difficult for people to give it up. And some things are current. Current means you develop hatred or deep-rooted prejudice for some section of people, some particular kind of group, deep rooted, because of after birth comes some kind of experience. I personally know one person, he was a Sindhi person. He was in Sindh before the division of India and Pakistan. And during the Indo-Pak division, such horrible thing they had to see, both of them on that border, they developed such deep hatred for each other. Such deep hatred for each other. That they have trained their children also in this kind of things. So this man was telling me, he was telling that my father taught me one thing, and even today he is taken up the process of chanting, he has become a devotee, he understands, he reads the scriptures, but still he says, I have such deep rooted thing that this particular community, I don't go to any shops where he owns it, I don't buy any goods from there. Just that sight of them makes, because my father had deeply ingrained in me that as regards this community, he said, there are only two kinds of good people in this community. Those who are not born and those who are under the ground. This is what he said. Anyone living and walking, you will never find good people in that particular community. That's the deep rooted. But we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu absolutely, took away that kind of prejudices by accepting people from anywhere as long as they were pure devotees or they were exalted devotees. It's so difficult. Very easy to say this, but very difficult. Deep-rooted prejudices that have come right from the beginning of our life or sometimes carried from previous. Even up till the point of suicide, these conditionings cannot be given up. It is so deep-rooted. But bhakti is so powerful. Association of a sincere, pure, exalted Vaishnav is so powerful. Not only the current prejudices that have gone after birth, that have come after birth, deep-rooted, but millions of lifetimes of conditioning can in one moment be completely washed away by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Kirata hunandra pullinda pulkasha abhira shumbha yavana khasavaya yenecha papa yadapashrayasaya shuddhanti tasmai prabhu vishnave namah. They get purified not only externally but from deep core, from within. All the conditionings also go away. The proof is when Narada Muni met Mrigari. First of all, he is born in a particular thing because of his previous conditionings. But that Mrigari, and obviously was born in a very low class family and he had deep rooted habits. But simply by association of Narada Muni, absolutely became a great Vaishnava, exalted Vaishnava. By the process of chanting and taking the shelter of such a devotee by following his instructions. Or even Valmiki Muni, Ratnakar. So this way, all these conditionings can go away simply by association of a great devotee, by receptivity, by our receptivity. If we allow the instructions of pure devotees coming from the parampara to impregnate our heart, then it can cleanse. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. Then we develop nishtha. Nishtha comes only after anarthas are removed. Anartha nivrittisya tatha nishtha. But that nishtha, all anarthas automatically will go away simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Ramanujacharya says, if you are not able to do any good thing, if you are not able to overcome any habits, if you are not able to overcome some conditionings, don't worry. Simply expose yourself to the association of Vaishnavas. That's all. Just expose yourself. And simply by being in that association, automatically everything will, all inauspicious things will go away. But of course, association means we can take advantage of the association to the extent we are actually seeking or desperate and are eagerly looking forward. According to our eagerness, and desperation and intensity, we take full advantage. But even if nothing is there, simply come and sit. That's all. Simply come and sit, Ramanujacharya says, and everything else auspicious will happen. Automatically, in due course of time. So in this way we find that Sangha is so powerful. We are seeing here such exalted personality, Vishwamitra Muni, etc. But they became slowly, gradually, but without their knowledge, but subtly they just went far away. Shakuntala was born, then he realized Menaka went away. They said, hey, what happened? Where was I? But before that kind of thing came, it was many years. Or sometimes for some it takes many lifetimes before that realization comes again. So, how to overcome? Of course, there are so many rules and regulations, half closed eyes, full closed eyes. But you can keep your eyes open or closed, that's different. The main thing is the mind. And if the mind is not experiencing a higher taste, it is very difficult to give up the lower ones. Why these yogis, big people, fall away? Because they have nothing higher to hold on to. Anadrita yushmad angrayaha. Because they are disrespectful to the lotus feet of the Lord by claiming that he has no form, the jnanis fall away. Because they are absorbed in tasting the things of this world, that they have no taste of that they actually cannot achieve. So therefore, by developing param drishtva nivartate, we find Haridas Thakur was tested similarly. What to speak of ordinary Purvachitti or Menaka? Maya Devi personified the essence of illusory energy in a condensed form. She came to test Haridas Thakur. And how much? See, the whole description is most favorable visual effect, most favorable auditory effect, most favorable sensual effect. Materialists are very expert at creating that kind of an environment. You go to the bar and restaurant, you know, if you're too bright light and everyone's sitting, you know, you can't get fully intoxicated. You can't forget yourself. Therefore, dim light. So that, you know, you don't see who is who, you know. More forgetfulness, conduce you to forget. Otherwise, sunshine, you know, you can see everything for what it is. So therefore, dim light, so that forget. And not to hear all the things, you know, just loud sound, so that you can't hear the truth of life. In this way, more and more favorable, so that you can be. But here it is more sattvic kind of situation. But because a devotee of the Lord is has a higher taste, best of all these things cannot attract him. It is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvad. The heavenly, in the spiritual abode, there are airplanes. And the airplanes are, you know, smooth flowing airplanes on the spiritual world. No sound, nothing, very smoothly and very beautifully bedecked with jewels. And it is packed with men and women of unimaginable beauty, with beautiful bodily features. And that Vimana is flowing over a beautiful lake of so many beautiful flowers. And the wind or the breeze is laden with honey, madhumalavinam. Not only breeze, the breeze is scented with actual honey from the lotus flowers on a beautiful lake. They are going about like that. But if for 1 second, if their mind is distracted, if these things distract their mind for 1 microsecond, fraction of a second, then kshipanti kshapanani, they curse themselves. For 1 minute, for 1 second, or for one moment, I forgot Krishna. So, because they have such higher taste, even though unimaginable facility is there, all the senses are absolutely satisfied, still there is a high taste for devotion. And therefore, even the best of things, if it is not conducive to Krishna consciousness, they hate it. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahenam. The best of things is zero, void, if there is no Krishna. Of course, that is very high, but that's what we aspire for. But by regularly, constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the Lord, and chanting His name and His beautiful pastimes, slowly, slowly, cleansing of the heart takes place, and then one day, the natural taste for this, Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapi, it's very sweet. But Pitta Upatapta Rasana Sanarochikan, we don't develop taste. But Kintu Adarad Anudinam Khadusaiva. But we have to just, now we have to take it as a medicine. Chanting and hearing and coming and sitting in the class is a little like a medicine for us. Sometimes it is bitter, sometimes we may go to sleep. Right now. But then, if it is any facility for sense gratification, even sleep is forgotten. So we have more spontaneous taste there, and here it is an austerity. But a day will come when that will become an austerity, and this will become spontaneous. So till that day, we have to continue to take on. Kintu adrad anudinam khalu saiva jushva swadvi kramad bhavati kramashah tadgada moolahantri. From root, all the anarthas will be removed, and the natural taste, like a magnet being attracted to, like a iron filing being naturally attracted to the magnet, or as Kunti Maharani says, as rivers flow incessantly, naturally towards the ocean, and do not stop till they reach the ocean. Similarly, to the ocean of all good qualities, Krishna, our heart will flow. Nothing can stop. Any obstacle, it will just be overthrown. It will run towards Krishna. That is the perfection. But till then, kintu adarad anudinam khalu saiva jushva. We have to take it and a regular dose of medicine. Once in 6 hours, 3 times a day, 365 days a year, full lifetime. Doctors say like that, right? Teen lene ka. 6 ghante mein ek baar, din mein 3 baar. One after breakfast or before breakfast, one after lunch, one after dinner. Whatever. Kintu adarad anudinam. We take on regular dosage, then we will, the disease will go away. Hare Krishna. So, any questions? We can take one question. I have been instructed to stop early because 10 o'clock we have a, 10 to 1 is a big session at the base. So, for those who are in the base, that means attending the classes 10 to 1, they can leave immediately and stretch themselves for a marathon session. Any questions, comments? Or nothing. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jāya, Jāya Gaura Prēmānanda ki jāya.